Today we want to think about hiding God's Word in our hearts. And that's a very scriptural premise. Years ago I heard this couplet, "Sin will keep you from God's Word, but God's Word will keep you from sin." Think about it. And that rather harmonizes with Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Take it to heart. Are you hiding God's word in your heart? Well, we have lessons from history. I can go back in my ministry over the many years and find that when a person is faithful in church and faithful in Bible reading and Bible study, he is doing very well. But when they start or stop coming to church and they fail to read God's Word, then they slip into sin, and oftentimes it's a catastrophe. I can cite examples, but for the sake of time, I will not this morning. We read in the Word of God that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. So we look at a couple of words here and see what God's Word says. Evil men, I think we know what that means, but seducers. It's from the Greek word goes. It means to cheat or a false teacher. First of all, they're deceived. They think they are right. And there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We know that verse from Psalms, do we not? There's a way that seems right unto a man. We think we're right. But are we really? There's only one right person, and that's God. There's only one right source of evidence, and that's His Word. Shun that, and you have nothing to stand on. Your firm foundation has crumbled into despair. You go astray. Well, that's the second word. Evil men and seducers shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They have been led astray, and they are leading others into error. If any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now that verse is in Galatians 1 and verse 7. If any man preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And if you notice in your Bibles, verse 8, more or less repeats that to emphasize the point. Evil men and seducers become worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. That means to be led into error. The result of neglecting God's word. Oh, the catastrophe of that. If you don't heed God's word, you are heeding the word of man. The population will rule. Fellow man will be your leader. And, of course, there are millions of different doctrines out there, both Christian and pagan, and they are all seeking to lead people astray. We have a battle on our hands. If you don't believe me, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 to 17. Put on the whole armor of God, and you have those various parts of the armor. But then you come to verse 17, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the only thing you can use against the devil and against evil is God's word. Take a lesson from the Lord Himself. If you look back in Matthew chapter 4, you find three areas in which the devil tempted the Lord. And you find in every case, Jesus Christ responded with Scripture. He used Scripture to defend Himself from the devil. Shouldn't we do the same thing? Hide God's word in your heart that you can call upon it at any moment and find grace to help in time of need. Well, let's go back to Matthew 4, and we see in verse 4 to start with, where the devil tempted him by being hungry, and here turn these stones into bread. And the Lord said, and he quoted from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And what's the mouth of God? Scripture. Use Scripture, defend yourself against the devil and his deception. And then on to verse 7, where he said, cast yourself down. It is written, and that's a quotation from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And how many people, even Christians, put him to the test? And then we go on to Matthew chapter 7. We're still there in this temptation the Lord experienced. And in verse 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. And how do you know how to serve him unless you go into his word? Oh, you can follow your pastor, you can follow your denomination. And I am appalled. Is that the word to use? I'm appalled at the many people who skip from church to church looking for something that they can agree with. That they can agree with? Are you the judge of what is right? Or should you not go to the Word of God and see what God says is right? That's why we use the term rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Just in case you're interested, that passage the Lord quoted was from Deuteronomy 10 and verse 20. The Lord knew the word because he gave the word. He was the author of the word of God. The sword of the Spirit he was wielding to fight against the wiles of the devil. That's why he said in Ephesians 6 verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the cunning craftiness, the deceptions of the devil. How can you stand against it? Put on the whole armor of God. And what is the last thing you have in that armor? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Well, Paul says several times in his epistles, be not deceived. Well, we turn to Ephesians 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh, I can do anything I want to. I'm under grace now. Don't you know that? We are free. We can do anything. Yes, and what if you disobey God in the process? How do you suppose he feels? Are you not grieving the Holy Spirit in so doing? It's the Word of God that says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. And of course, if you quench the Holy Spirit, you are grieving him. You can't help but do so. Without the Holy Spirit guiding you, you're in peril. And what is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. And the Word of God gives us ample warnings, not just in the law, no, but in Paul's letters. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, know ye not, well, if you don't read God's word, you will not know. But he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. There's that word again. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of men of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, shall inherit the kingdom of God. You know, it's a few things you say, well, that doesn't pertain to me. I'm not a drunkard. Beware. Take a little wine is a deception. Fornicators, adulterers, oh, we know many Christians who fall into these categories. They let the human drive of sex defeat their spiritual desires. Effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind. How about the homosexuals? When I was a kid, we wouldn't use the word homosexual. It was a naughty word. We cut it short. We called them homos. Or maybe queer. But now they're gay. We become more humane. The Word of God does not change. The Word of God endures forever. It's God's Word and He is eternal. Be not deceived. I'm going now to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I look at that word communication. I thought it was sharing. It's from the Greek word homileo, to company or associate. Who are your friends? With whom do you associate day by day? Now at the workplace, you probably have no defense on this because you have to be with unsaved people. Okay, so was Paul. What did he do? He hid God's word in his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth surrounded by the entire population of sinners. He used the word of God to defend himself against the evils of the world. Evil communications, evil associations corrupt good manners. Who are your friends? Can you discuss scripture with them? These contacts affect your walk. Evil always rubs off, much easier than righteousness. It's easy to follow after the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. It's so easy because we are created in sin. Oh yes, we're new creatures in Christ, but we still have that human nature within us. I recall a priest back in Adelaide years ago, several years ago. He was accused of being an adulterer. Well, it'd be a fornicator in his case. And there was a big to-do in the public media. Should he be defrocked? Yes, yes. And he was in danger of being defrocked. But one dear old lady from his church came to his rescue. He's human. He has human passions. Let's not condemn him for being human. Oh, yes. We live in sin. It's a natural thing. Are we condemned by being natural? Of course. God hates sin. In every dispensation, God hates sin. So how can you guard yourself against this sinful nature? Well, do what the Bible says. For example, I'm going to Romans chapter 16, verse 19. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. The word simple means ignorant. I remember one time I was getting petrol for my lawnmower. I had a two-stroke lawnmower, and there was one Bowser out in front of the station that had two-stroke. It was never turned on because people might steal it, so it had to be turned on from the console. So I held up two fingers, two-stroke, and pointed to the Bowser. When I came in to pay for it, she said, "Aren't you a pastor?" "Well, yes." "And you don't know how those fingers you held up?" "Two fingers." "Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you." Evidently, I had rather an evil connotation with my fingers, and I didn't know it. I was simple concerning evil, and she helped me to remain simple. I still don't know what it means today. I don't want to know, because the Bible says to be simple concerning evil. And then Paul says, I'm going now to Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Oh, what a list we have here, finally, brethren. Or shall we say most importantly, because this is not the final words he wrote in Philippians. He said, most importantly, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are godly. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what does he say? Think on these things. And I'll put the word only on there. I think that's where it belongs. Don't think of anything but that which is godly. Let your thoughts be righteous thoughts. And if you put on the whole armor of God, you'll have a good start. If you apply the fruit of the Spirit, you'll have a good start. If you are wise concerning that which is good, you have a good start. Then he says in the next verse, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, those things do. Not the evil, but those things I teach as the ambassador, as the apostle of God. And he says, if you think on these things, the God of peace shall be with you, and he'll be working in you. Paul was appalled that people did not know the word. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? What? Are you that ignorant? Oh, people today are oh so ignorant of God's word and why they don't read it. Christians fit into that same category. They're ignorant of God's word. They don't feast upon it. Rather, they will say, well, the church teaches this, so I believe it. The pastor said so, so that has to be right. How many people have I talked to, and I thought that these Christians are coming along and understanding Paul's word rightly divided, but then they don't come back. What happened? Well, I find out here and there that they have gone to their pastor, and the pastors don't have anything to do with that heresy. They believe the pastor. They don't go to the Word of God to see what is right. I'm just wondering if you fit into something of that category. You come here on Sunday. You don't have the Word in your hand. You look up on the screen and it's spoon-fed. You got it right there in front of you. Where's your Bible? Well, I don't rightly know. It's somewhere in our house. I know I have one. Have you ever lost your Bible? I don't like that. I want to know where my Bible is because I want to use it. And if I use it daily, hey, that rings a bell, doesn't it? Acts 17, verse 11. The Bereans were more noble than those in the Thessalonica. Why were they more noble? Because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They didn't take Paul's word for it. They didn't take anyone's word for it. They went to the Word of God. Only God is true. And what does Romans say? Every man a liar. Don't trust men. I don't care who he is, what degrees he has after his name, how many years he's been in the ministry, how learned he is in Scripture. Don't take his word for it. You go yourself to the Word of God to see if these things be so. That's what the Bible says. Well, we have children. And we train our children. And as a young child, he believes everything we say. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he becomes old, he will not depart from it. That's as he becomes old. He will not depart from the truth, no matter where, when, how his error is proclaimed. It's not that he'll come back to the truth later on in life. Don't trust that. Train up a child in the way he should go day by day, hour by hour through his life. And when he is in God's word, faithfully he will not depart from it. But those who depart from the faith, what do? They fail to read God's word. There's a verse in 2 Timothy 2:12 which strikes close to home. We say, we're saved by grace. We don't have to do all these things. We don't have to read God's word. I know it all already. Oh, I've heard that a couple of times, haven't I? I don't need to come to church. I know everything already. Oh, my. What deception. But what does that verse say? 2 Timothy 2:12. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Failing to read God's word, we are in so many things denying him. As ye sow, that shall ye reap. Well, there's that verse in Galatians 6, verse 8. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit. How do we know how to sow to the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It comes back to haunt us, doesn't it? We have to read God's word. Then we know where we stand. Or we know where we should stand. Oh, I know perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, there's your homosexuality again, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What do you love in this life? Do you love to read God's word? Spend time daily, not just a moment. Oh, some say, read a chapter a day. That takes about, what, 3 or 4 minutes? Read a book a day. Read the book of Ephesians every day for a month and see what happens to your life. Read the book of Romans every day for a month and see what happens to your life. Hide God's word in your heart, and the peace of God will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. If you don't, you will believe the evil. You'll believe the world. You'll let the devil have his way. Search the scriptures. Hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against him. Otherwise you will. Perhaps experience has taught you that already. But take the word of God as the truth. Take the warnings, for God is speaking to you. In closing this illustration, if you receive a letter from someone, oh, you don't need to read that letter. You know everything already. So you just put the letter aside. Or worse yet, drop it in the bin. How do you suppose the writer of that letter would feel if he went to all the expense of sending that to you, all the energy of writing that for you, and you threw it in the bin? That's exactly how God feels when he gives you his love letter, the Holy Bible, and you put it to the side. You don't open it. Dust on your Bible. May it never be. Amen.